Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Well, hello. Welcome along. This is Press X to continue. How are you doing today? Hope you're well. This, of course, is the gaming podcast that is just for you. Whether you're a seasoned pro, whether you're a part-time gamer, or even just a watcher-alonger, which is a phrase that we've just coined here on Press X. Everybody is welcome here in the Continue Club. Welcome along. Lovely to have your company. Now, today, it's a bit of a special episode because what we've done is we've got a sort of interview-style podcast for you this week where we're going to focus on the sort of the behind-the-scenes-ness of gaming and the creative process that goes into coming up with some of your favourite characters. And we're going to talk about the building blocks of what you end up seeing on screen with a legit star of the gaming world. From the Assassin's Creed series, Cassandra herself is here. It's Melisandre Mahoo. Melisandre, thanks for being with us.
Thank you very much for having me.
It's very exciting having like a proper, you know, a proper person in the studio. Not saying that our regular guests aren't proper. They are, they're legit. But like you've been there, you've been the face of one of the biggest franchises of all time.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, that has been me. I don't know what to say to that.
Well, look, we've got loads of questions for Melisandre that people have been sending us on our Discord all week before we do the recording, which is very exciting. And we'll get into all that stuff. What's it like being an actor in games and all the sort of bits in a second. But we start every episode, Melisandre, with an unpopular gaming opinion.
Okay.
Okay, we've been doing that every week. And that is going to stay the same this week. And this one comes from the Discord that we have got. And this one's from Hixan in the Discord, who says that my unpopular opinion is that people who run gaming podcasts don't know how to make good Spotify playlists. And this is because I've made a Spotify playlist for the podcast. Hixan clearly doesn't like it. And Hixan, you're allowed to have your opinion. I just disagree with it. And that's totally fine. You can find our Spotify playlist, by the way. If you search for Press X Ultimate Gaming Playlist on Spotify, then our games playlist is there and you can have a listen to it. There's some bangers on there, Melisandre. You're going to have to go and stick it on your...
I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure there is.
Would you trust me to put a playlist together?
I would absolutely trust you to put a playlist together.
See, Hixan, that's Cassandra from Assassin's Creed putting him in your place there. I took one of the songs that Hixan likes off the playlist, I think.
Which one was it?
I think it was from Portal.
What are your top five in that list?
Oh, well, I'll tell you what. Since you've asked, let me tell you.
I've gone there.
Let me get it up. I should have guessed this was going to happen, to be fair. So, yeah, I took a song called Still Alive off the list. So, in the playlist, we've got Death Stranding by Churches. We've got The Green Hill Zone, a remix of that from Sonic.
Okay.
Guile's Theme from Street Fighter.
All right.
I mean, we've got some of the stuff from Red Dead Redemption 2 on there.
Nice.
Unshaken, for example, that song.
Okay.
Which is beautiful. The Halo theme, because come on.
Yeah, okay. It's a solid list.
Yes, yeah, this is a great list. A beautiful song from Journey, which makes me cry every time I hear it. So it's a good list.
It's a can I see?
You can have a look. So look, Exana, you've got Melanie Santi disagreeing with you here. She's saying it's a good list. Anyway, you can find us on social media, Press X Pod and Press X Podcast on Blue Sky, TikTok and Instagram.
I'm going to follow this now.
See, Hexana? Melanie Santi's following our Spotify playlist. I don't know what your issue is. But look, you can have, and we've also got a Discord, okay? And you can get in there like Hexana's done and share your unpopular opinions with us. Get in touch, get involved in the conversation because we love talking about it on the podcast. So it's great that everybody's getting involved, even if not everybody likes my playlist, Melanie Santi.
That's fine.
Right, anyway, enough about our podcast bits that we do every week. You're here for a reason, because people have been asking us to get under the skin of making games as part of a podcast. And what better way to start than with someone who brings these amazing characters to life? But let's start with your journey. When did you know that you wanted to be an actor? Were you like one of those kids right from the get-go?
No, I really wasn't.
Were you not?
I was not. I mean, I think I exhibited some of the classic behaviour. but other than that, I don't think it was. Realistically, I don't think at any point in my student years did I have that drive to be anything that made sense. I think my brain was kind of all over the place, and I think partly because I loved playing pretend, I loved like watching films, I loved being in that world of storytelling and stories, really. It kind of seemed like a very natural thing at some point. So it was like an idea that popped in my head quite late, actually. And then I thought, oh, yeah, great, let's do that. So I think it's the most anticlimactic story of how somebody got into acting that you could ever possibly imagine. It seemed that it was there for all the years, and then suddenly it clicked. So it wasn't like a dream or anything, just to put it that way.
Can you remember what your first ever acting job was?
Yes, I played a goat.
You didn't.
I played a goat. So this is in a play, right? In a school play, in a high school play. I had the costume and everything.
I thought you meant on the telly.
You mean paying acting job?
No, this is good. This is small and build those things up.
Yeah. So like, yeah, it wasn't a nativity or anything. I don't remember what it was. I think it was in a high school play or something.
Yeah.
I decided, oh, you know what? This sounds like a cool idea. Let's be part of that group of people.
Yeah.
I think it was an extracurricular activity that we could take at the time. And yeah, I had a costume and everything. It was grand.
It needs to be on your IMDb, Melanie Santi.
Goat.
Goat.
Yeah, yeah. Especially as like the first role.
But to be fair, not to jump too far ahead, I can remember I interviewed Melanie Santi years ago when she was nominated for a BAFTA. I can remember your answer in terms of like more cap was like, well, you know, you can use your brain to go off in these amazing spaces because you're not restricted by the rules of life like you are when you work in the theatre or film or telly. And you know what? You first learned that when you were playing a goat.
Oh, goats. I mean, I love the beginning of the sentence. We've transitioned from playing a goat. So when I first met you at the BAFTAs, this is great.
So you started off as a goat and then you love playing pretend. I mean, and so many people listening to this will have love playing pretend and love getting. My son at the moment is obsessed with Toy Story I am role playing Buzz Lightyear a lot at the moment.
Okay.
Yeah. And I feel like I'm getting to know the character quite well, you know? I'm getting there. But that is a jump, isn't it, from loving that and enjoying that to all of a sudden being able to make that your profession. So what happened then?
I mean, it's for me, it was always a very difficult transition. It's like you're saying, because doing something you really, really love and then having to find a way to do so much PR and then trying to meet people and trying to get into rooms and trying to like addressing the business side of something that kind of comes very naturally and feels like it shouldn't have all that attached to it was quite difficult and quite tricky. And it's difficult to kind of separate the side of you that has to learn how to do that stuff and the other side of you that enjoys just doing the play pretend.
Yeah.
Because it's also now, it's like you just found something that allows you to be a kid for the rest of your life, but now you have to really focus into being the adult that allows that kid to play.
Yeah, it's funny because you think of acting, you think of the acting itself, the getting into a mocap studio for your work in games or getting to a set for your work in telly and film or whatever. But actually, like you said, it's the business side of it. It's the finding an agent, it's the PR, it's all that stuff to get you a job,
yeah,
to allow you to then go and be a kid again.
Yeah, I remember in the final year of drama school here in London, we had all these seminars and all these workshops about how to best approach an agent. So essentially, our entire final year didn't really have anything to do with, well, we put on shows, of course, but the majority of time was spent in PR and business and marketing. And I remember thinking, oh my God, I didn't sign up for this. What is this?
This is a lot
of crap
at
this.
This looks like a lot of work.
It looks like, and also I'm really shit at it. I'm really bad at it. I'm not good at, you know, I'm not good at the business side of things and I'm not good at the PR side of things at all. This is not what I enjoy doing. I eventually got better with time.
Yeah.
But this is not what I was, it's not what I'm good at. This is not where I shine.
And so how long after you graduated drama school before you started working in games? Was this something you always wanted to do or was this something that sort of happened organically? Or
it happened organically. I did quite a lot of theatre after drama school and I did film back in Greece as well and theatre back in Greece. And I think it must have been like 4 or 5 years later, I think.
Yeah.
And it was just complete and pure coincidence. It was almost like an accident. I remember I auditioned. I got an audition from my agent at a very random point. I think I was in between shows or something. And she said, could you just put something, just send me an audio clip for this thing. And she didn't even know it was for a game. So it was just like just a bit of voiceover.
Yeah.
So I thought, okay, yeah, let's do that. So I remember I was running. I heard the clip back like years later and I was, oh my God, what is this? and that was for Assassin's Creed Origins,
yeah,
but for like various voices. And so, yeah, I got that job and had no idea. I'd never worked on a game before. And so that was my introduction into that world. But there was no mocap involved in that.
Yeah,
at all.
That was just voice work.
That was just voice work. So that was my first experience with...
Yeah, not a bad franchise to start off on,
really,
is it?
Assassin's Creed. But I didn't know. I had no idea what I was working on.
Yeah.
I found out maybe 2 years later when I started recording for Odyssey that I'd also done bits in Origins.
Okay. Cool. Yeah. That's
great.
So odd,
isn't it? So that's what okay.
Do you think that's too, well, we got so many questions that we get into because we have loads of questions from our community as well. But before we do that, we're going to set up some trivia because we like doing this every week.
All right.
A trivia question that we'll then answer at the back end of the episode. So,
okay.
So it's time for some more trivia this week. And we've got a special jingle for you, Melisandre. This sounds a little bit like this.
Who wants to be a continuer?
Now, don't forget, you can also submit your questions via the Discord. It's a secret channel, which I can't see. Inel can't see. And we like, it's our podcast. What do you mean we can't see our own channels in our own Discord? But people are putting brilliant questions in there. This one has come from Andrew. So Andrew, thank you very much for your question. And of course, we're going to give you the answer at the end of the episode, as usual. Cave Game, Melisandre. Cave Game was the original name of which video game franchise? Cave Game was the original name for which video game franchise? I didn't get this. I've cheated, I've looked, I know what it is.
Okay.
But I didn't get this. But once it's one of those, when someone tells you it, it's like, oh, of course.
Cave Game.
Cave Game is the original name of which video game franchise? We will give you the answer to that bit of trivia at the end of the episode. Melisandre is putting an amazing face now. It's that face you put at a pub quiz when you think you've got it, it's like, it's there. I can feel it.
Will I get really angry at the end?
I think you'll get a bit like, oh, yeah, of course.
I'll be really annoyed at myself.
Yeah,
damn. Okay.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Host. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethost.com/terms.
Come try new Skyline Dip Cholitos at your neighborhood Skyline today. A warm, soft tortilla filled with their amazing chili and cheese with an extra layer of cream cheese and crunchy Fritos corn chips. At participating Skyline restaurants for a limited time.
So we've had a bit of a potted history of how Melisandre ended up starting to work on Assassin's Creed, from Goat to Cassandra. It's quite the journey you've been on there.
There's links there.
Yeah, between Greece and London. I guess let's get into some of the questions that we've had then from our listeners. This one is from the last DJ, and he wants to know, when you start a recording session, do you have any rituals or anything you do that you prepare yourself to start performing? Because I guess in games there are two types of performances, aren't there? You've already touched upon this. You've got a performance where you're just using your voice, and then the performance when you're full mock-up, right?
Yeah.
So do you prepare differently for those?
Yeah, I mean, it's always good to do warm-ups, obviously. So a vocal warm-up if you're in the booth, and, well, vocal warm-up anyway, and then an actual, like, physical warm-up for motion capture, because usually in motion capture there will be a lot of movement and there'll be a lot of possibly fights and a lot of action, so you know.
And how
don't
much
want to pull
that,
anything.
Yeah. And how much of that is obviously it's choreographed, but how much, because we hear, like, one of my other jobs, I make a behind the scenes show about the making of Doctor Who, and when there's an action scene in Doctor Who, that is choreographed. You know, it's a dance, isn't it? It's really
well,
and I'm assuming it's the same for all of your action sequences.
Absolutely.
In games.
Any single action sequence has to have, like, a stunt coordinator and a choreographer, and it's, like, very, very carefully orchestrated.
Yeah.
Because obviously you've got a lot of cameras around you, and it needs also to look good from a lot of different angles, and it needs to look effective from a lot of different angles, and believable. So, yeah, there's quite a lot of meticulous work put into that.
So you're getting yourself ready with your physical warm-ups, your vocal warm-ups. Do you have any rituals? Have you got, like, any sort of, like, superstitions before you?
Oh, superstitions? No, not really. No, I don't. I'm definitely not the type of actor that likes, you know, like, the absolute quiet and solitude, so I need to concentrate. I kind of do the opposite thing. I take the piss out of everybody in the room and kind of, you know, lighten the atmosphere a little bit that way. Try not to take it too seriously.
Yeah. Because some people do. They need to get into a headspace, right?
I think you need to take the job seriously, but never take yourself too seriously. And I think sometimes you need to warm up and need to be ready and have the instrument prepared in order to deliver the work properly.
Yeah.
That's taking the work seriously. And you need to bring that best self to work, but never take yourself too seriously.
Yeah, I think that's a good lesson for life anyway, really,
isn't
it? Yeah. What about this one then from Damien? If you're doing multiple characters or multiple voices in a game, how do you keep them all distinct or separate? Maybe you found yourself more recently being drawn to lead characters, right? So actually you're focusing on one person.
That is true of late. But also, it's a good question. And the way that I tend to do it, if you find a voice for a character, usually that character will have a very defining word.
Mm-hmm.
Or there's a word that helps you get into that character. There's something that they say in a very specific way that helps you get into the character. So if there's a few characters going around, then it's always kind of good to find your key into the character.
Yeah, okay.
A thing that'll get you into that one really fast. And then kind of find those for each character and then use them whenever you need to quickly access their voice or their personality.
Yeah.
And when recording, it's kind of always better, especially if they have a dialogue between them. It's best, I think, to record all the voices of the one character first and then
go
for the
other
one.
Wait, so you've performed to yourself?
Yes.
No way. That's so you're doing.
And it's,
oh goodness, my mind is now racing. So you're acting against yourself.
Yes.
Wow.
It's fun. It's fun.
Is it?
But it's No, it's not. It's horrible. But it's better to do the one side and then play it back, and then you have to act to that.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, because you couldn't do...
No, otherwise it's schizophrenic, but I can't do that.
That's
I'm not
mad.
That skilled.
Yeah. Just I think it would be like interviewing myself. It'd be awful. I don't like it, even know. when the tables are turned, sometimes someone has to interview me about something and I don't like that. I find it really weird. Because,
really?
Well, it's just my job is asking people questions. And all of a sudden, when you get asked questions, you're like, no, wait, that's what you're doing. That'd be so,
okay.
Yeah. Okay, I didn't even think that you were doing both. So it's the words. You find the keyword. Damien, thanks for the question. Rich asked a similar question. So I hope that answers your question as well, Rich. It's about finding keys and words to help you sort of connect to the character. And this one's from Tez. If you've performed in a game, do you still like playing it afterwards? Or do you like, you know what, it's like some people don't like watching themselves on the telly or whatever.
It's for Odyssey, I played as Alexios. I couldn't, because there's so much. I don't judge or criticize myself, but it's like, that could have been, I wonder which day that recording was. Oh, that was probably the day. I can hear a sniffle here. Or, you know, that doesn't matter. So I start picking it apart. Not in a bad way.
Yeah.
But I can't, it's not something that I can control at all. So I don't end up enjoying the game, really. I just spend so much time kind of going...
Critiquing yourself.
And not just critiquing, not in a negative way, but kind of noticing differences or noticing bits where, pitch could have been a bit different, or I can locate a bit of a cold, or I've got something stuck in my throat there. You know, just kind of observation paranoia and just kind of...
Yeah. Oh, that is interesting, because it sort of takes you out of the experience.
It does, it does, yeah. Because I know that it's me and therefore I can't commit. I can't, my fourth wall is broken.
Yeah. and have you found yourself, if, you know, perhaps working in games is something that you sort of came to a bit unexpectedly, have you found yourself engaging more with the medium now? Do you play more games now than you did maybe before? Because you want to... Because you want to keep up with what other people are doing, or, you know, what do you get out of it?
There's so much more now as well. And there's so many different indie games and so many different ways of approaching the same medium. It's just, I find it fascinating.
Yeah.
It's endless now. It seems that there's so many options around, I think, in comparison to what I was available to me at the time. Although, to be fair, I wasn't an avid gamer when I was younger, so it's something that I discovered, I think, quite close to when I started acting in games. So there was a bit of a coincidence there. But I've developed a deep love for them now, and also now that I know how much work goes into them, everything that goes on backstage, it's just, I don't know, I have a huge respect for them, and now I keep wanting to discover more and more about them.
And do you find yourself, because Melisandre is also performing in TV and movies as well. You're in Sandman recently. We were talking about it before we started recording. I love the Eurovision movie with Will Ferrell. I thought it was hilarious. you're in that. Do you find yourself sort of splitting? Because it's hard. There's so much stuff out there in the world, isn't there? So much content to watch, games to play, books to read.
Yes.
How do you find your time split between, like, making sure you're watching the latest movies to keep on top of that, or playing the latest games or whatever?
I'm trying to now limit the amount of time that I spend. Like, I'm trying to limit my amount of screen time.
Yeah.
I'm trying to go back to reading a bit more, which I had stopped over the past 3 years. So that's where you find me now.
Yeah.
But if you'd asked me that a year ago, it would have been trying to catch up with new directors, new ideas, new projects. So the new element of it all was what was fascinating to me.
Can you enjoy them? Because it is, or does it feel like work? You know, when you're playing an indie game and you think, oh, this is really cool. You're watching a movie and you're looking how a director works. Do you feel like, it's a bit like work, really?
It has to interest me. It has to grab my attention. If it doesn't grab my attention, then it definitely feels like work. Then it feels like I'm just compulsively watching something just for the sake of watching it and being able to have an opinion over a new, you know, director, actor, producer's work. But if it grabs you, then good job done.
Yeah. you said you're getting back more into playing. What have you been playing, or have you played in the last few years? You thought, oh, that is, I would definitely recommend that to someone.
What I've played and completed recently that I absolutely adored was Lorelei and the Laser Eyes.
Okay, I've not... Tell me more.
I love it. It's a puzzle game, essentially.
Why has that one stayed in your mind so much?
I love puzzles. I loved the way that... I love the layout. I love the world. It's black and white. It's very noir.
Yeah.
You can pat a dog, which is always nice.
Are you one of those gamers always when there's a chance to pat the dog, you have
Hell
to pat
yeah.
the dog?
Every time I walk by the bloody thing, I go and pat it. Say, oh, must do this. Yeah, hang on.
So you've played a video game. We do just patting the dog.
Just patting the dog. It's great. So much puzzle solving and so much. It's brilliant puzzle work, I think.
Yeah.
So, and I love that.
Yeah. So the Lorelei the Laser Eyes is developed by Simogo, and it is published by Annapurna Interactive,
who
of course do absolute sterling work, don't they? They do brilliant stuff.
Oh, it's
really highly rated.
It's a great game, man.
I missed this.
It's a great game. I love it.
This? It was nominated for all sorts of big awards. You can play it on your PS5, the Switch, on your Microsoft Windows as well. I'm going to add that onto the list, although my list is... Like everybody's very long of games you should be playing, but I haven't got time for.
It's really not enough time. I have a list.
Have you got a pile of shame?
Yeah.
It's hard, isn't it? It's tough.
I can't. It's too many and there's not enough time.
This is very much a theme of this podcast now.
There's not enough time for all this stuff.
Yeah.
And also, I'm quite slow, and I'm one of those people that will not just play the main game. I have to do every single freaking side. I'm obsessive about this, so it takes me forever to finish a game. So I can't just... It takes commitment.
It takes time. Yeah, yeah,
it does. It takes time.
So if someone's listening to this and they're thinking, oh, I fancy a bit of a puzzle game. You know, maybe this Laser Eyes thing is for me. Who is that for, do you think? Who would you encourage to play that game?
I don't know how to answer that.
Yeah. So people who like puzzle games?
People that like puzzle games, people that... it's also good you can play it in groups, I guess. So I think you can play two or three people.
Yeah.
You need to keep notes, for sure.
As you go?
It helped me to keep notes, yeah. And then it's something that you can work on when you're not playing the game and then you kind of look back. So it's something that you don't have to solve right then and there.
Yeah.
It's something that you can kind of have and it can be working on the back of your mind for the entire day, or if you're on the tube or in the bus or something.
Homework with the game. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that, Melisande.
That's fair. This is something that excites only me, I guess. I have homework.
We've got more questions for you coming up. Also, we want to delve into a little bit of... We have to talk about Cassandra, obviously, and the process of making that and all the mock-up work you did on that. So that's coming up soon. But we can't have you here without playing a little game with you, Melisande, okay?
Oh, okay.
So I'm springing this on you.
All right.
It's going to be fine.
Okay.
What we're going to do is I'm going to do the best I can to act out some lines from Assassin's Creed.
Oh, my.
And what you're going to do is you're going to try and guess if they're your lines...
Oh, I'm so bad at this.
Or
okay.
If they're someone else's lines.
All right.
Okay, so
barely remember any of my lines.
Right, so and you never played it through as yourself, so you might have missed some of these lines. It's been a long time since you recorded these lines.
Oh, God, I couldn't remember recording the lines a month after. But okay, let's go.
So who said this? Was it Cassandra or was it someone else in the Assassin's Creed universe? Now, I am not a professional actor. I did get A-level drama though. So, you know. Just saying. Right. I'm not gonna do the accent though, because I'm struggling to do this one. Right, so let alone another one. Okay. Listen to me. Order chaos. If either triumphs alone, the world dies. Is that you or is that someone else?
I love that line.
What do you think of the performance though?
Performance was top notch.
Thank you.
It was absolutely
Thank
brilliant.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
And, you know, commanding. I did listen.
I listened to tell you because there's a quiz involved. Is that you or is that someone else?
I think it's me.
It is you. Congratulations.
I think it is me.
That was Cassandra.
And I love that line.
Good line, isn't it?
I love that line. Very relevant.
What do you think of this one then? Is this you or is it someone else? Sleep? I never sleep. I just wait. in the shadows, and I will kill you all. By the way, if you are, people are looking for voice actors for their game at the moment, you know, feel free to pick me up, you know, give me a call, whatever, I'm available. So, expensive, but available.
I think that's not me.
That's not you. That's Bayek. So, good get. You're two from two.
Good. How many do we have?
This is the last one. For 100% record, can you get this one right?
Oh, no, you shouldn't have said that. Now I'm going to get stressed.
So, did this one come out of your mouth at one point, Melisandre? Did Cassandra say this? I won't stop until every last cultist has met my spear. You will be erased from history. I will erase you.
It sounds like me.
And it is you, 100% record, Melisandre. Congratulations.
Thanks. Thank you. Thank you.
Very good. And the, you know, the Assassin's Creed boffins, this thing at home as well, will have probably got a lot of those right as well.
Yes, that is true.
You can relax now. Because you must get asked, you know, every time you do a lot of fan conventions and you meet the fans.
I remember nothing. I have to write them down on my hand. I really try. And the thing is, I go like, okay, because obviously I don't have the scripts, the old scripts, they're gone. So every time somebody says, write your favorite line from Assassin, I'm like, oh, damn it. Then I have to go and I have to Google. But it seems to me that every time I Google, there are less and less of Cassandra's lines available. I'm like, where did they all go?
You need to have a document, right?
I have started. Although I think one of my favorite lines is, it was first day of mocap, first day of work on Assassin's Creed at all. And it was a line that was spoken by Elias Tefexis. Great dude, great actor. And I think his line was, yeah, beware the snakes in the grass. I love that line.
Oh, it was a good line.
He was great. Also, he has like a really gruff voice. Yeah. So it sounded like very menacing and very cool. So both Michael turned, we turned to each other. We're like, oh my God, that's so sick. That's so cool. And we decided to make it our secret. Like we decided to develop a handshake based on that line.
Nice.
Yeah. It was not nerdy at all.
No, but these are moments, because it's an intense experience, right? Performing, because you're essentially a lead in a mega Hollywood movie. That's the equivalent of it, right? You're there day in, day out in mocap. What was that experience like of creating Cassandra? So it was performing as Cassandra.
It was stressful at the beginning. It was because even before we started doing any of the mocap, we were flown out to Quebec, and we were shown just all the footage that they had already been working on, all the research that they'd already done, and it was terrifying because they show you like the character arc and the story and what happens, and obviously it's a long game, so the character arc spans over many, many hours.
Yeah.
So trying to, obviously there were gaps in this entire thing because they would be filling everything as they went along, It was just so daunting at the beginning. Having to go, oh, dear Lord, I really hope I don't mess this up. But as time went on, everyone is so nice and so easy to collaborate with and so easy to work with. And the writing team was incredible. And everybody was so open to suggestions or ideas. And they would always be there to answer any questions. So it felt very protected, and it in terms of the, you know, the creating of the character. Yeah. And it felt very, very safe. Obviously, because it was in such a closed environment, you kind of ended up forgetting, because we worked on this for like a year.
I was going to say, how long did it take?
A year, maybe a little bit more than a year, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe a year and a half, because there were all the DLCs as well. So by the end of it, you know, you're just kind of showing up to work in a studio, you know, everybody, it feels like home. So you've kind of forgotten what this is all about. And obviously a lot of time goes by before the game comes out as well. So by that time, you've definitely forgotten. Then you're like, oh my God.
But we did that. That was cool, wasn't it? Oh, we forgot about
that. Yeah, absolutely. That's exactly what it felt like.
Yeah. We've had this question from Contest. It says, was there a moment when you were on set, whether it was a memorable line or a memorable scene, or you were doing something and you think, oh wow, I can't believe this is my job, I'm being paid to be here to do this. And it might not have been Assassin's Creed, it could have been another project.
I do, but I don't think I have, in the way that question was intended. I think there was the direction that I received in terms of letting out a cry, but having to die in various different ways. I thought that I can't believe that I'm being like, this is my job. This is unbelievable. So I think the direction was, now you're being stabbed with a small knife. Okay, great. Let's try it again. The knife is slightly larger. Go. Brilliant work. Now go for a spear. Fantastic. Can we try with an axe? I shit you not. It went on like this for like an hour. Give me a sound where you're falling from a cliff after being stabbed. And then, oh my God. It's like, I don't know what this feels like.
Yeah, what is the difference between being stabbed by a knife as opposed to being, I don't know, a slightly larger sword? I mean, that's a lot of work you're doing there.
It's minute details. You know, it's very detailed work. You wouldn't understand it.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah, I can't get into my headspace there. That was a great question. Now, we were having a conversation on the podcast a few weeks ago about cutscenes in video games.
Uh-huh.
Right. And someone's and the unpopular opinion was around whether or not you should be able to skip cutscenes or not. What would you think of that question, Melisante?
Absolutely never skip a cutscene. No, it's there for a reason. I think, yeah, it is, because it's a culmination of like everything that you've been doing so far in the game. You've made like this decision there and this decision there, and it's all kind of leading up to this point. So what's the freaking point? You need to sit and watch it.
There were some people who had even suggested on some of our posts on social media, because this went a bit mad on TikTok. A lot of people were getting involved in the conversation. Someone said that they played all of Baldur's Gate 3 and didn't watch a single cutscene.
No, sacrilege.
I feel like you're Superman. I've just turned up with some kryptonite or something, you know, that you can't cope with this information.
But this is also, look, also from the perspective of somebody who shoots these scenes as well, they're fun. They're the fun bit, because you actually get to, you're there, you participate, you're just acting out the scene. So I always like watch these. And I think that this is where the best, I don't want to say the best quality work, but I think that there's the likeness of the character to the actor is the closest.
Yeah.
Because obviously this is the bit that's, there's a lot of mocap there. So it just feels like a shame. Why would you skip it?
Great question, Stuart. Well done. Thank you very much for that.
Because you see my face.
Yeah, I mean,
so upset.
I think we've rocked Melisante to a very core there by raising the fact some people want to skip cutscenes. You've talked about how long it took you to make Cassandra in Assassin's Creed, but how long does it? I guess because we've got this question in from Twin Sons, who wants to know just how long it takes to record a performance for a game. I imagine it varies depending on what you're asked to do.
Yes. If it's for a lead, it's a lot.
Mm.
I think I was in the studio for a year.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, not counting holidays and stuff, but
yeah,
it's a long time. I don't know if it doesn't translate to actually how many hours the game is. So it's not like if the game is X hours, then it's also X hours recording.
Yeah.
Because it's obviously, you have a lot of dialogue and all this and that. So it's a lot less. I'd say possibly a tenth of playable time.
Mm-hmm. It's a long time, isn't it?
Still a long time.
For a game like Assassin's Creed, yeah,
still
for sure.
A long time.
This one's from Dave. How do you get any input into changing lines and things in terms of your performance? Is it more strict than you see on maybe, you know, film and TV, where sometimes you see a lot of actors having input with writers and stuff? Or is it more strict in the game space?
I think, at least when we were recording, I think it was quite strict. And the reason why it was quite strict was because Michael and I needed to match our performances.
Of course, because people don't know, you could play your game as either you or Michael's character was called, whose name is
Alexios.
Alexios, thank you. And so you're doing the same thing,
yeah,
but the player would see one or the other.
But this is the part that a lot of people don't know. It was very difficult, because part of our audition process wasn't just is Melissa or Michael a good match for Cassandra or Alexios and Deimos respectively, because whoever didn't play the one then would play the evil sibling.
Yeah.
It was also, can they match each other's timing? Because what we had to do is that either I would record first in the UK and then they'd send the files over to Canada, where Michael would then go and have to match to the second.
Yeah, because you're animating it, right? So if your version is 3 seconds longer, you've got to suddenly create three, and that's a nightmare.
Absolutely, yes. So we needed to match each other's performances that way. But we'd also need to do that on the mocap floor, which was a lot harder, because at least in the VO booth, you can you've got a clock, you can see, you can time. Whereas you're on the mocap stage and you're actually doing a scene, and it's a dramatic scene and it involves movement or, you know, someone's dying, but you need... If it's 1 minute and 23 seconds, you need to somehow mark the beats in your head while you're watching the other person's performance and count where they do everything and then match that to 1 minute, 23 seconds.
That's stressing me out.
But at the same time, delivering a good performance and, you know, hitting all the spots.
And did one of you always get to go first?
No, we took turns.
I was going to say.
No, man, that would have been completely unfair. We took turns, yeah. But it was hard. That was one of the hardest bits. So... And that's not something that I don't think you get to do normally. And I don't think it's something a lot of people know.
This is a really interesting question from Alex. And I've never thought of asking this question before, Alex. And I'm really cross with myself because I've been interviewing people as a job for 15 years. I've never thought of this question.
Oh my, what is this?
Alex has said, have you ever said no to a role? And if so, why?
Yes, I have. I think. I'm sure I've said no to if an audition has come my way and I've read it and I've thought, you know, probably not a good fit. But I don't know if I've said no to.
Yeah, that's interesting because isn't the job of an actor, or the role of an actor, is to be someone else? So interesting that you feel like you couldn't fit as that other person.
Yeah. I mean, I think that you can, there's exceptions for sure. You can obviously try and fit yourself to pretty much anything, but there will be bits that you are better at than others.
Yeah.
And I mean, not to, you know, sell myself short or anything, but there are times when somebody will come up to me with something and they'll be like, this is it. And I would realistically know that this is not something that I could take on and deliver well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
To the point where it's, I'm satisfied with the work that I'm delivering and I'm happy that, you know, somebody's getting the best that they could out of me because they're trusting me with, you know, their mind child or their creation or something. And in order to be able to deliver 100% or, you know, like a decent 90% and then, you know, whatever. But that would be the only reason why I wouldn't. And again, not selling myself short on that, because there's always the bit where you can kind of go, oh, you know, let's try and see if I can stretch my abilities or stretch my limitations of that. So it wouldn't be in one of those cases. It would be in the case where I absolutely know that this is not something I can realistically do.
Yeah, I see.
And deliver well.
Thanks for that question, Alex. Really great one. And then just a couple, just as we start to wrap up, I suppose, Melisanti, there's obviously the big question that is asked a lot of you, especially and other performers who have been in major gaming franchises, in terms of the difference between working in games and working in more traditional mediums, like, you know, film and telly or whatever. It's, you know, you must have been asked this a lot of times, but Nick wants to know the answer to that. And I think it is interesting to sort of, especially as movies and TV are changing and games are changing, is there much of a difference between them these days?
Maybe not as much these days as there probably used to be. But what used to be the difference, I guess, well, games. And when I say games, I think I need to make it more specific and I need to make it about the mocap.
Yeah, yeah.
Really, because if it's just the voice acting, then that is still a very different medium.
Yeah.
But mocap used to be a combination of theater, I think, in terms of how you use your body, because it needs to be very, you need to have very clear, distinct moves and usually quite big gestures, which in a way are more theatrical and more specific. Mm. And your face needs to be performing as it would be for film and TV. So
your body's doing one thing and your face is doing another.
Yes.
Oh, that's annoying, isn't it?
So your face needs to act like it's on camera.
Yeah.
And your body needs to act as if it's on a stage. So that would have been the difference. I'm not so sure that that's the same now, because I think that the way that they're making the volume now, you don't have a head-mounted camera, I think, mm-hmm. possibly anymore. I need to check on that. So I don't know what the newest tech is, but until a while back, the difference would have been that.
Yeah. And when you've gone for jobs in TV and movies, have they looked at your work as Cassandra as part of your CV and thought that is applicable for other acting, or do they think, oh, that's an amazing performance, but that's for you to put on your game CV? Is your TV CV separate to your games?
I think the second thing. I think that people still perceive it as a separate thing. Mm-hmm. And I think that the film and TV industry still haven't understood exactly what the gaming industry is about. They're beginning to now, for sure.
Yeah.
And also now they're using quite a lot of the tech that's been used in the gaming industry for years.
And the intellectual property as well.
And the intellectual property as well. But I think that still there is, I don't know if I'd call it snobism, but there is definitely an element of, oh no, this is not what we do. We do that. This is still a very, very separate sector.
Yeah.
But I think that that will definitely change in the next few years.
Yeah. How would you feel about that?
I'd feel good. I feel good. Because I think it's A, good to collaborate. B, it's good to recognize when you have a good thing. And again, find a way to collaborate with somebody that has, you know, that kind of artistic integrity and can bring so many cool ideas to the table that everybody can share. Mm-hmm. And I think it's wrong to snub games just because it was, you know, always considered to be a very separate thing, right?
Yeah.
Or like we're doing the artistic stuff, or we're doing this stuff. It's all crap. It should all be part of the same group of people that kind of share ideas and collaborate and make something really nice.
If they ever made a TV version of Assassin's Creed and they needed a TV Cassandra, would you be annoyed?
Absolutely.
Would you be annoyed if they got someone else? Like, I'm asking Christopher Judge this at a BAFTA masterclass that we did a few years ago. It's still on YouTube, because there was news there they were going to make a God of War. And obviously he is Kratos, isn't he? Like, I can't think of Kratos as being anything else. And he was like, yeah, obviously I should play. And would you think, yeah, surely they should cast you because you nailed it in the game, so you should do the same on the telly?
I mean, I would need to bulk up massively in order to make
a lot of protein
convincing. Yeah, because I'm quite scrawny. But other than that, then yeah, I'd definitely like to take a crack at that, of course.
Yeah.
Because it's in a way, it'd be funny, because it took a while for the gaming industry to appreciate the use, I think, of professional actors and kind of now begin to understand how they can use professional actors in order to make the games more believable and more relatable, because you spend hours with your main character, right? And so for now to do like a flip and the TV and movie industry to not accept the actor that was in the video game seems quite silly.
Yeah. So basically pick up the phone if they ever do that. There's not talk of them doing it, but I was just interested because that is something that's happened recently.
I love it.
Because, you know, obviously Troy Baker was an amazing Joel, and then he was a different character in the TV show.
Yeah.
And it was actually really cool, a different character. That was quite a nice nod to,
to the way
of doing it. But yeah, interesting stuff. Right. Okay. So we started off talking about our Spotify playlist at the start of the show. Melisandre's now following along because she thinks it's a very good playlist. I'm not putting words in your mouth there. Absolutely not. Definitely not putting words in her mouth there. So it is, of course, a Spotify playlist with all the best gaming songs on there. You can find the playlist. The link to it is in the Discord, which you should be a part of, because why not? But also we want to keep on having your suggestions being added to the playlist. So what tracks need to be on there? Well, Gav suggested a song from Max Payne 3. And so someone in the Discord DW is saying, this made me think of Alan Wake 2 and its amazing soundtrack. So there are two songs I want to see on there, either Dark Ocean Summoning or Herald of Darkness. Well, DW, thank you very much for your suggestion. I'll go and take a look at it. And if they're good, they'll go in.
All right.
Not saying that I'm sort of some sort of control freak or anything, but, you know, it's a very meticulous list that we're putting together. I can't just whack anything in there. Let's go and check
That's
it out first.
Absolutely right.
But thanks for your suggestions. Right, the trivia question. Can you remember? Cave game. From Andrew. Thank you, Andrew, for your question. Any guesses?
I'm gonna really, really get annoyed you at myself, aren't I?
Shall I just tell you?
Yeah.
The answer is Minecraft.
Oh, damn it.
I was the same. I didn't get it.
Oh!
What a great cave game. So made by Marcus Persson, of course known as Notch, May 2009, was the first known version of Minecraft, was known as Cave Game. Now that game, that version of it was never released to the public, but it was based on an earlier game that Notch had created called Ruby Dung. And the demo consisted of only cobblestone and grass. But anyway, it was made how you generate caves. And that became Minecraft, one of the biggest games of all time. And so well done to everybody who got their trivia right. Melisandre's very disappointed in herself. Well, Melisandre, thank you so much for coming on and answering all our listeners' questions and for being so open about your career. It's such a fascinating. You can see what people are fascinated by it, aren't they? And you get it's like life. I know you spend a lot of your time doing the mundane stuff, but you know you do some pretty cool stuff as well, don't you?
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I guess.
And what else can we? What can we see? What can you tell us about? Any secrets or are you working on or anything exciting coming up?
I mean, I'm just waiting for The Sandman to come out.
Oh,
I think that will be, God, last I heard, I think it was, they were aiming for somewhere around April. So fingers crossed.
Yeah, yeah.
That goes smoothly and that happens. It looks sick. It looks so good.
Yeah.
It looks, I mean, if you liked season one, and going to be absolutely blown away by season two. And also I did a feature back in Greece, which is, again, coming out around April.
So a busy month for Melisandre in April.
April's big for me, yeah.
So all the Melisandre fans out there are going to have lots to look forward to in April, yeah. Which is very exciting. Well, thank you very much for coming on and being with us. That's it for this special episode of Press X to Continue. Let us know what you think of interview episodes of this. Do you like it? Do you want us to do more? Get involved. You send put us comments on the social media, of course, on Press X Pod on TikTok and Blue Sky and Press X Podcast on Instagram. Or let us know in the Discord as well. We love to get your thoughts on this stuff. We love seeing all your messages and comments coming in. We read every one of them. Sorry, if we didn't get around to your question, sorry, we were so many come in and we couldn't get through all of them. There'll be another episode of the Retro Press X's coming up on Thursday, where we put our back catalogue on all the podcast platforms for the first time. So we're bringing that to you then on Thursday, and we will be back on Tuesday for more fun. So we will see you then. Melisandre, goodbye. See you soon.
Thank you very much for having me.